This is the Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. Miles tells the story of a young man named Miles who is looking for a way out of his small town. His original plans for a college-bound escape are thwarted when his dad suddenly passes away, and Miles and his mother learn that his dad had squandered his entire college fund on a fling. Man, that's not cool, Dad. Desperate for a scholarship, Miles signs up for the only sport he's ever been any good at, which is volleyball. Of course, for the school that small, they only have a girls' volleyball team. This means that Miles is going to have to buck the system and play anyway. Miles stars Tim Boardman, Molly Shannon, Missy Pyle, and Paul Reiser, and is a very sweet tale of a kid just trying to leave his small-town life behind him. I think we've all been there. It takes place in Illinois. As a person who's from Illinois, I totally understand exactly what Miles is talking about. And director Nathan Adloff, along with co-writer Justin Palmer, based much of the film on Nathan's own experiences as a teen struggling to leave his own small town and break into filmmaking. For our exclusive interview, we talked to Nathan about leaving his small town, the journey to get this film made, rounding up his cast, and we talk a lot about specifically the personal journey, because the film is based, at least in part, on Nathan himself, and that's a very interesting and insightful way to do a film, so we talk a little bit more about that. You can find out details about this at milesthemovie.com. That's milesthemovie.com. It is available on video on demand right now, so you can watch it in your home. But to find out more information, remember, it's milesthemovie.com. Without further ado, take a listen to our exclusive interview with the director of Miles, now available on video on demand, Nathan Adloff.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's funny, you're originally from Springfield and I'm originally from Rockford, so I think we both can relate to Miles' plight to get out.
Oh, cool. It's funny, playing around, I swear every screening someone comes up to me and says that they grew up, you know, within 20, 30 minutes of where I grew up. It's so funny.
It is a small world. It's a small world.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I want to ask anybody that I talk to is, when did you know that this is what you wanted to do? Was it a moment or was it your whole childhood? When did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker?
Definitely since I was very little. Movies were always a thing for me. I got lost in Spielberg movies and Goonies and all of those sort of childhood fantasy movies, and just sort of in me from a long time ago. My mom was very supportive, letting me rent movies, probably ones I shouldn't have being so young. But yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, as long as I can remember, I've wanted to make movies. There was always something magical about it. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Apparently we had similar moms too. You mentioned Goonies in the interview and as well as in the movie. So it's a big point of the movie. Is that your all-time favorite? Mm-hmm.
My all-time favorite movie, probably not. It's definitely in the top 5 or 10. And I watch it, I think, at least once a year. It's one of those movies I could watch over and over forever. But it's definitely one of my favorites.
Are you still waiting for the sequel? The inevitable, we're adults now and we're all sad.
Is it going to be a sequel or do you think it'll end up just being a remake?
People keep wanting this version where the kids are all grown up and it's their kids. I keep hearing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to see that. It just made me feel sad.
Yeah, I'm torn because I love it so much and I would want more of that, but I don't know if it would have the same nostalgia to it as the original. I think it's nearly impossible, especially when so much time has passed. Mm-hmm. to capture that a second time, but I would certainly be curious.
Well, Corey Feldman would probably still dress the same. Tell me about your journey to Hollywood. How did you finally get to Hollywood and start becoming the filmmaker you wanted to be?
So Miles, he books it to Chicago right after graduation, even though, you know, his dreams of going to Columbia were shattered, but so I actually got a partial academic scholarship to Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois.
Nice.
And studied filmmaking and graphic design. And as soon as I graduated, I then booked it to Chicago and lived there for 10 years. And I started making short films and started working at the Apple Store, where I met my co-writer, Justin Palmer. And we were sort of at the same point in our lives where we were wanting to be more creative and make a movie feature. Mm-hmm. It was just good timing for the both of us, and we just had very good, we hit it off right away and share the same sensibilities and things like that. So within a year of each other, you know, we quit, we wrote a movie, and we shot it in 2011 called Nate and Margaret, which Ash Christian, who produced Miles, produced as well. And we sold it before even finishing it, and had a nice little release. And, you know, eventually LA was just sort of the next, you know, logical step. I had a short called Cock and Bull that played Outfest in 2013 that I made with a friend in just a few hours in Chicago, and almost didn't submit it because it's just my friend and I being silly. But we submitted it. It got in. I came out for a week and fell in love with the festivals and just the filmmaking community here and the city. And 6 months later, I moved here. And shortly after, we had a table read for Miles, which we'd been writing off and on for, gosh, 3.5 years.
Wow.
Then within a year, we were shooting it. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell.
How is that to write Miles? You said that you have a writing partner, obviously, and it's also loosely mm-hmm. based on your life. So how do those two yeah. work together?
Yeah. I mean, you take certain liberties to make a better movie and, you know, for better storytelling and to up the stakes. I actually played on the girls' volleyball team in junior high, not in high school. So in junior high, there's really no stakes. There's no scholarships, things like that. You know, you're not really thinking about your future that much. And there was no boys team, so they had to let me play on the girls team. And my mom was a teacher at the school, like she is in the movie. And, you know, it was fun. And there really wasn't a lot of teasing and stuff. So again, just to make it, you know, to up the stakes, we made him a high school senior. And after his father passes away and spends his college money, the reason he joins is to get a scholarship. So that part is made up. But my father did buy a car for a woman and then passed away and left that financial burden on my mother. So those two things we wanted to kind of meld together and were the spark for the story. So
that part is real?
Yeah.
Send your mom a hug. Send your mom a hug for me.
I know. Yeah, that happened. It was a long time ago, but it was messed up.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up. And I'm sure that's... Is that more difficult for you as a filmmaker to tell a personal story like that?
I honestly think it's easier. I have always been such an open book. So it, you know, it was most important to me that I had my mom's blessing when she read the script, you know, to go mm-hmm. and make it, because I wanted that. I didn't want to make that without her permission. And I think it was easier because when I'm directing the actors, if they had questions, I had real life to draw from, to answer, you know, to come up with things or background motivation kinds of answers for them. So I think, you know, there's a reason why they say write what you know. I just had so much things to pull from, things that I had actually even forgotten about until they were brought up, you know, when we were in pre-production or on set. So I personally think it's easier than to make up, you know, 100% fiction. And then when you're asked certain questions, you kind of have to make shit up.
So what about this period in your life, I guess, or loosely based on this period in your life, did you, mm-hmm. why is that version of the story? Why is that the time in your life you wanted to tell rather than becoming a filmmaker? Why is that the section of time you wanted to tell?
Well, my first feature was more about becoming a filmmaker, and Miles can kind of be seen as a loose prequel to that, mm-hmm. to Nate and Margaret. And I just thought there was something interesting about a boy playing on a girls' team that I haven't really seen in movies before, or not predominantly. And yeah, I just wanted to pursue that for a long time. And one of the first questions my producer Ash asked me when he came on board was, why don't we set this today? Why do we have to set it in 1999? Because it's a period movie, and that, you know, just exponentially complicates everything, even though we found most of that stuff in thrift stores. And I really wanted to preserve how communication was different then, especially in a small town where you don't have a big LGBT community, especially for high school kids. Mm-hmm. And for the, AOL, the internet was very new. And that was my way of finding my people, you know, and even though it took 10 minutes to connect and get into the chat room and stuff. But so I just wanted to show how that's different, you know, versus now where you can just pull out your phone from your pocket and, you know, talk to people 10 feet away from you. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like getting smacked in the face with a time capsule because
a lot of it was selfish nostalgic reasons too. So.
Well, AOL is.
I wanted the posters and Jurassic Park poster. And
the AOL, the chimes, the dings and everything like that, just seeing the messages pop up and how they used mm-hmm. to be. And, you know, you look at your phone now and it's just so easy. But how did you even get that? Did you have to go recreate it? I assume you had a computer tech special effects company that had to recreate that.
Yeah, there was. So when we filmed those scenes with the computer, the screen actually didn't even work. So the computer was off. Mm-hmm. So that was all a visual effect that came in later. And I designed, having a graphic designer, you know, background, I designed all of the screens and all of the text and everything. And then there was a team of four people that took all of those files and animated it and gave it the effects with the glass and the reflections and the pixels and all of that stuff. So it was quite a process. There's over 100 visual effects in the movie. And I think over half of those are the chat on his computer screen.
That's great.
It was quite a task. Yeah.
Well, one thing I thought it was really nice to see that Miles' sexuality is kind of like it is for all of us, where it's just part of his everyday life. And the story was really about his overall journey, not just one aspect. What was the challenge in, well, both doing that and presenting it like as covering all the bases you did, which is he's the volleyball situation, his sexuality, the situation mm-hmm. with his father, as well as casting Tim Boardman, his relative newcomer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with his sexuality, it was never a story I was wanting to tell. I'm not really, you know, into telling coming out stories and things like that. There's definitely a time and a place for those movies, but I just kind of feel we're a little bit past that, or I would like to think we're a little bit
Absolutely.
Past that, where it doesn't really matter. And it's a universal story that can relate to people outside of the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell an honest story. So, you know, I'm gay, so I would, obviously he's going to be gay, but, so yeah, I like stories that, you know, the character's sexuality is apparent, but it's not at the forefront. It's not a, you know, plot device or
right.
any sort of big conflict. It was more about it being unfair and that he was a boy and he was taller and stronger and those sorts of issues. And then Tim, we had a really great casting director, Rich D'Elia, here in L.A. that Ash was about to work with on a big movie, and he thought he may respond to the script. And he did, and we had coffee, and 3 days later I was meeting with Molly Shannon, and the next week was Paul Reiser and Missy Pyle, and Tim was definitely the hardest to find. It was important to me to cast someone of the right age. It's so distracting when you see 30-year-olds playing high school students in movies and TV shows.
Yes, but, it is.
We started auditioning people here in LA because I'm in LA, Rich is in LA. And then he put out the call for audition tapes pretty much all over the country and Canada. And Tim was a tape that came in from New York, and he was one of the only actors that didn't start shouting in his audition. One of the sides that the actors had to do was the scene where it's right after Miles gets fired from the movie theater and he's having dinner with his mom, and his mom is telling him, you know, to do the right thing, take the posters back, stick around town and go to, you know, save up money, go to community college for a year. And it's an argument, but it's not a shouting match type of argument. It's small and it's real. And he was one of the only actors that really got that and didn't just take the easy choice and start shouting at his mom. Mm-hmm. So that was important to me, that he really got it and was subtle and came off as just very natural. So, and I actually didn't meet him until I got to New York to shoot the movie. We'd had a couple of Skype sessions and had talked a lot, and So when you have, when you're making a movie of this size, very small, a lot of times you can't, you know, book a flight to New York and, or someone bring someone here to meet them. You know, it's, sometimes you just meet them when it's time to shoot. So
does the audition process pretty much work the same, even though it's over Skype?
Sort of. So we got tapes from him, and then I believe I sent Rich some adjustments for him, and then he recorded two more. And then we Skyped and just had conversations a couple of times. So there, I guess the difference other than not being in the room was that I wasn't really directing him and giving him adjustments on the fly. It was, he had some time to, you know, to think about them and record a second round of tapes. And then, but I definitely knew he was the right choice when we were talking, and, you know, we were able to, he just really got the script and the character, and then it wasn't over the top or anything loud. You know, it was just a very natural, small story and character. So, yeah.
And then how'd you round up Molly Shannon, Paul Reiser, who I haven't seen, and it's been it's been great to see him, and Missy Pyle, who is just a fun actress to watch.
Yeah. Well, Molly was my first choice, and she was the first one I met with and the first one, the first actor to sign on. Yeah, I'm just still pinching myself that I got to work with her and Paul and Missy and everyone. It was like every other day on set, somebody was coming that I was super excited to work with, you know, Yardley Smith, Ethan Phillips, Malcolm Getz, Annie Golden, Romy Rosemont, Stephen Root. It was literally every other day someone that I loved and was coming that I got to work with. But yeah, Molly I met with, and we spent a couple hours just talking about the character, and she asked a lot of questions about me and my mom's life, and it was great. I think a day or two later, I heard that she wanted to do it, and the next week, Rich set up a meeting with Paul Reiser and Missy Pyle, and for some crazy reason, they just kept saying yes.
That's great.
Yeah, they certainly didn't do it for a big payday.
I'm sure the money's coming. But why was Molly your first choice? Did she remind you of your mom, or just fit the
character? You know what? Not really. But I really saw her playing the role because I think she's such a great, she has such a great balance between comedy and drama, which at the time, not a lot of people had really seen in movies that she's done. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies is Mike White's Year of the Dog. And it's such, I would call it a dark comedy, but it's so equal parts painfully funny and painfully real all in the same movie. When Justin and I were writing it, I just kept thinking of her, you know, and that character in that movie. And she was just always stuck in my mind to be Pam. So, and it's funny, when she met my mom at our LA premiere at Outfest, Molly told me after, she's like, "Oh, your mom was so different than I had in my mind. If I met her before, I would have played the character so different." I was like, "Well, I'm glad you didn't, because I like how you played her." You know.
So, what's the reaction been for you now that the film is released and it's so much of you on screen? What's the reaction been for you?
It's been extremely positive. The better part of the past year, we've been playing festivals and winning awards, and we won the audience award at Outfest last summer. And the release, it's very, very new. We've been out not even a week yet. So many people have reached out and said they saw the movie and liked it, and lots of people from my hometown and family. And so it's nice. It's different than playing festivals, you know, a film festival, just a very limited number of people get to see it. But now I'm able to say that it's on every cable VOD channel that there is, and pretty much every streaming digital outlet that there is too. So it's surreal, and it's wonderful.
That's great. I know I got to let you go, but I want to know, what are you going to do next? Is it going to be another personal story, or?
Yeah, I've just recently been able to switch focus to a new script, and I'm co-writing it with my friend Brad Griffith, and it is based on me again, a third one, and I think three is enough, the rule of threes. But to make stuff up after that. But yeah, it's loosely based on me in college and crazy story. It's a very long story, but I invited a homeless man into my trailer when I was living in Southern Illinois, and found out that he robbed me 2 weeks before that. So that's sort of the spark of it. But it's a story about three best friends coming to terms with, you know, different things that are happening in their life at different ages. So I'm excited about it. So yeah, we're just getting started on scripting it and hope to make it sometime soon.
That sounds really interesting. And be careful with homeless people you invite into your trailer, by the way.
I know. I like to think that I'm not as naive now, 20 years later, but, you know, who knows?
Well, I got to let you go, Nathan, but thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And best of luck on the release. It's on video on demand now.
Thank you so much. Take care.
There you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Nathan's a really nice guy. It's really interesting how he's telling stories that are so personal to him. And getting it out there. And he's getting these films made the way he wants to make them on his own terms. I really admire that. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider Podcast. We try to bring in these interviews with filmmakers from the world of independent cinema whenever we can. I know you guys love them and you really love getting the behind the scenes and the nuts and bolts of what independent filmmakers go through to get their movies made. Really appreciate that you do love them and please support their work. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode each week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com as well as those other places I already mentioned. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or watch Miles comfortably from your couch on video on demand right now, buy popcorn.